Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mr. Michael Haynes here with you, and please follow us on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on air. He's at BusterTheDog33. And normally you catch us on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Talking Puck TV, but Mike and I, in the new year, getting back to doing some podcasts here. So, Mike, happy new year, and it's nice to be doing some podcasts again.
It really is. There's just been so much going on. I missed, voicing my opinions, telling everyone, and then figuring out that everyone else is wrong and I'm right. You know, so I've missed that.
No, I'm sure your wife was really happy to have just you to talk to over the break.
Well, see, I don't get that at home. I don't get to do that at home. I just feel like this is my own opportunity to be right and everyone else is wrong.
Nice. So that's actually why Mike wanted to do podcasts.
Yes, it's the only reason, really. Yes,
there you go. So, well, you know, it's funny. You talk about all these big things that are going on. This is a big thing, but I feel like it got no play. And I wanted to bring this up because Todd McLellan reached the 500 win plateau that ties him for 26th all time with Toe Blake.
Wow.
And puts him one behind Pat Burns. That is, I didn't think of Todd McLellan reaching 500 wins, but out of active coaches, let's see, he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th among active coaches. So Barry Trotz is number one at 1758. Then Lindy Ruff, Peter Laviolette, Daryl Sutter, Dave Tippett, and Bruce Boudreau, who's lighting it up in Vancouver right now. But, I mean, tip of the cap, first of all, to Todd McLellan, but I didn't really think of that. In 965 games, he gets to 500 wins.
That's fantastic. He's not the guy. You go, okay, you know, tell me the top coaches in the NHL. His name, for whatever reason, doesn't immediately come to my mind. But boy, 500 wins. That, congratulations to him. And how cool to be right now tied with Toe Blake, legendary Montreal coach. So that is very cool. I think it's really a wonderful honor, and you have to be doing a lot of things right. That longevity to get to that point. So what is it? He's almost 1,000 games coached in the NHL.
Yeah,
is that
965.
Right? No other sport gets rid of their coaches faster than the National Hockey League, and so you've got to be doing something right in order to be able to achieve that kind of goal. And if you're there, if it's 1,000 games, you're looking at too, I think, Tom, over the course of those games, the NHL has gone through, I think, a huge transition in how you deal with players as a coach. And so to be able to kind of move in that environment and get along with players as times have changed, that's a real tip of the cap, as you said, to him, because that is, boy, I think more so now, in a lot of ways, it's harder to coach than it's ever been, because you can't just go in there and say it's my way or the highway anymore. And there's so much other things that has to be done in this day and age. There's much more media that you got to deal with, in a sense. There's also a lot more to the actual coaching because of all the video work, the more assistance that you have, dealing with other issues now. And so, boy, if you can be successful as McLellan has been, that is a real tribute to him.
It is. It really is. And it's interesting looking at the active coaches. And one guy who's not active but was until he resigned, Paul Maurice, by the way, I would not have known also he is 6th. In all-time wins in the NHL.
Well, he started when he was 12.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So, he's been at it a while.
And what's funny is he started when he was 12, but he even when he resigned, he looked like he was 14.
I know.
I mean, he's just a young-looking guy. Yeah. He started super young in his career. And, so it leads me to the question of the day then for you, Tom.
Okay.
Joe Quenneville, in my opinion, when the season began, out of active coaches, was the best coach in the National Hockey League who was currently working. Obviously, unfortunately, he is no longer coaching in the National Hockey League. who now is the best? And I'm not just talking about strictly, you go, all right, Barry Trotz got the most amount of wins. And he has a Stanley Cup. But who is the best coach right now in the National Hockey League, in your opinion?
Wow. So that's a good one. I like Barry Trotz. I'm always on Team Trotz.
He's a great coach. Sure.
And does have his cup now. And the other guys who are active right now, the ones I rattled off earlier, here's one guy who I think is a controversial choice, no matter who it is. Daryl Sutter, I think, is always a guy who comes up and people tend to kind of dismiss Sutter, but he's got two cups. And he, you look at him, and by the way, this is as a coach, you look at Sutter and I think a lot of people are dismissive of him because, you know, he's always making those faces and he's horrible with the media and he's the bitter beer face guy and just, right. It kind of in a lot of ways has become a caricature, but I think that keeps people from taking him as seriously, as a coach. And I think he is actually a pretty good coach. Now, is he the best active coach? Another guy, two guys actually coming up right behind McClellan. Pete DeBoer at 492 wins. And then you also have John Cooper. Listen to John Cooper's numbers. 404 wins in 667 games coached.
I will say this, Tom, and for those people who have listened to you and I for the last 3 years, know my little rant on this. I think when it comes to voting, because when we were broadcasters, we got to vote at the end of the year for the best coach in the National Hockey League. And generally, the guy who would win would be somebody who took over a team or was coaching a team that was not good, and they had a big change, which obviously is a good indication of being a good coach. I always thought it's very difficult to coach great teams. I know that sounds weird. It sounds like you just step behind the bench and just send out your superstars. Boy, there's a lot more to coaching great teams, dealing with egos, dealing with, especially if you've had more than 1 year of success. It's not easy. And I think right now, the job that John Cooper is doing, and that was a guy, I think if you go back 3 years, Tom, he was a little bit, there were rumors about him not keeping that job there in Tampa Bay. They were struggling a little bit. So I don't know if you've been to many media gatherings with him. He is very articulate, very personable. And to me, that this goes into it's you can just say, okay, who's the best at X's and O's behind the bench? To me, there's so much more going on as a coach now. I think he's great with the media. Obviously, Tampa Bay is not Toronto. You're not getting skewered every day, but
right.
he's just really very pleasant to deal with. And he must be really nice to play for, too, I would think, and from all accounts. You never hear anything negative about him. You know what, Tom? He gets my vote. He's the best coach in the NHL right now.
You know, and I have friends who have worked directly with John Cooper, worked with him as, you know, I don't want to say PM positions, but positions that, let's face it, in the world of hockey, don't get much importance, whether social media or perhaps, you know, a traveling PR guy. We know in some organizations, those are the fleas on the back of the dog. Like, they're necessary, but we don't want them there. John Cooper doesn't treat those people like that. And I think that's just kudos to him. So, you know, that's incredible. And actually, I will say Pete DeBoer, to kind of come back to him, I think in the last couple of years has gotten better with the media. I remember in San Jose, he wasn't bad, but I think he was a little more guarded. Now he just is. It's almost like he's gotten to the part of his life where he's like, I'm just going to say what I think. You know, and maybe everybody gets to that point. Barry Trotz is definitely there. And Daryl Sutter's always been there. He was born there. It's interesting to see how these are going with these coaches. And of all the guys we talked about, you know, Bruce Boudreau is going to end up being talked about as a coach of the year candidate if Vancouver stays hot and gets into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, Dave Tippett on a struggling Edmonton team, which I know we're going to talk about in another podcast here, just a little tease for later in the week. But, you know, Tippett might be on the way out a little bit, but there's still a lot of guys who... There's a lot of good coaches out there, and some are not working right now. I think Paul Maurice has got to be the first guy up, at least for an interview, if anybody has an opening. But I don't know. So I'm split on my vote right now between Cooper and Barry Trotz as far as guys. And the reason I like Barry Trotz so much, allow me to defend him if I can, is he takes whatever team he's got and makes it the best possible iteration of itself. You know, I've talked about in baseball a hitting coach or even a goaltending coach in hockey, if we want to keep it at home. Some guys work with a goalie and do the best with what that goalie naturally has skills and abilities in. Some guys say, no, you must play it this way. You must be a butterfly goaltender. Francois Allaire is a famous example of this. If you could not be a butterfly goaltender under Allaire, you were out. You were out. It was his way or the highway. But there's other guys like Mitch Korn. Tell me that Dominic Hasek had a style. But Mitch made him better, you know, and but I've seen him make other goaltenders better that you might not even think about. Obviously, he worked in Nashville with Pecorino, and now he's working with the goaltenders in the island. He worked with Braden Holtby. But guys like Carter Hutton had their best and most productive seasons under Mitch Korn. And look, Carter Hutton's parlayed it into a late blooming career after coming to Nashville and getting kicked out of Chicago. So I just think that, you know, guys like that are underrated, and Barry Trotz is one of those guys. I don't know that he'll ever get the credit for just the years in Nashville where he kept them far more competitive when they had any right to be. And then when they finally got pretty good, they couldn't quite get over the hump, and all of a sudden he's a guy who can't coach superstars. Well, then he goes to Washington and wins with Ovi. And, you know, that's the Capitals got their cup, and it was with him. And then he ends up leaving, going to the island. So I really do still have to make a case for Barry Trotz.
Fair enough. No, I think he certainly has to be in the conversation when you look at the current coaches. But my vote for Cooper. I think that, boy, what he's done with that team, and just the way that he carries himself as well. He gets my vote. But I'm with you on Barry Trotz. Just a wonderful guy and also a great coach.
Well, tell us what you think. If you're listening out there and you want to get a word in with either Mike or I, I'm at Callahan on air, and Mike is at BusterTheDog33. Who's the greatest current coach in the NHL? Best coach, greatest, whatever your opinion is on this, we'd love to hear it. I'm sure there are people who could vote for Lindy Ruff and Peter Laviolette. So I'm really interested.
They'd be wrong, but yeah, they
right.
could.
I mean, Michael tell you you're wrong. So you should tweet Mike first. we love talking about this stuff. So you know what? And the vote here is split. So help us decide, if you will. And you know what? Well, I'm sure it'll come up again throughout the course of the year. And here's the other reason why Mike and I feel so qualified about this, because Mike, I don't know if everybody knows this, but broadcasters get to vote for coach of the year in the NHL.
That's right. Absolutely. And I've always been for the guy who has to take a really good team. And when you win with it, that always impresses me.
So there you have it, folks. That'll do it for this edition of the Talking Puck podcast. If you like what you hear, please like, follow, subscribe. Available wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you being here. And also don't miss Talking Puck TV on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Twitch and on YouTube. We'll talk to you next time.